Hey everyone, welcome to Be the Change. My name is Lily Mott, and today I'm going to be talking about how change comes when you tell your story. I am so excited to share this guest story with you today on the 200th episode of Be the Change podcast. It feels crazy to say that, and the four-year episode of Be the Change podcast is also coming up very soon, and it feels even crazier to say that. So I will have a very special episode of the podcast to celebrate 4 years at the beginning of June, so tune in for that. My guest today is Kiana Pete, and she is a grad student at Teachers College at Columbia University, and she is an Indigenous education and policy advocate. I am excited to share Kiana's story with you today, so without further ado, let's get started with this episode featuring Kiana Pete.
Hello, my name is Kiana. I am Dena, or a citizen of the Navajo Nation. I always have a hard time kind of describe the work I do and what I am. First and foremost, I'm still a student, so I'm a current grad student at Teachers College, Columbia University. And I would say I work in the field of Indigenous education policy research. I feel there's so many roles that happen in between that, but I use social media content, or I create social media content to talk about different Indigenous issues that I find important for others to know, and also to integrate contemporary political views or contemporary political issues and how they affect Indigenous peoples.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Kiana, and that was a great way to get started. So tell me about what inspired you to get started with all of this work. I would love to know more about what motivated you to learn about these issues and, of course, now educate others about them.
Yeah, so I would say the initial, started probably happened in high school. So in high school, it was, I grew up in what I call border. If a lot of like Indigenous audiences are familiar with this, but I grew up in what is called a border town. So a border town's, you know, similar to what you would see between like a nation and nation. However, this is like a border town right outside of Navajo reservations, where we see heightened violence against Indigenous peoples and hate that is intentional. So I grew up in this sort of atmosphere, but also at the same time in these border towns, there's a lot of conservative political thought. And in high school, I started to delve a little bit deeper into what the history of my hometown was. And a lot of that was taught to me by my parents, grandparents, and other people within the community. And I saw that there was a really big lack of information and education about, you know, how bad my hometown was. But a lot of that came into light, of course, during the Black Lives Matter movement, where we saw a spur of just social media content creation, you know, amidst the pandemic and trying to work around and trying to educate through that part, but just a spur of people throughout the entire world creating content that taught about different social justice issues, climate issues. And I also had a lot of different, you know, friends and mutuals. I was at the time, like, I had a lot of friends and mutuals who were doing work in the issues of social justice. And I had all of this like information accumulated, not only from like my work that I did in high school and like education in that area, but also things I'd started within my, you know, first couple years of college. And, you know, I've written like essays and stuff about this, but how, like, for me, it was like, I know so much of this information and other people know so much of this information. How can I translate that into something that's interpretable to all ages and, you know, create content? So yeah, it's a whole mixture of things, but I would say it was really that Black Lives Matter movement that really inspired and in a way, was sort of a spearhead to delve into issues that haven't been talked about.
Yeah, definitely. And I would love to talk a little bit more about the role that social media has played in your work and just in change making in general. I think the Black Lives Matter movement is a great example of how social media can be very helpful for sharing a message and getting the word out to people. But I also think there are a lot of criticisms that social media activism can be performative. So, can you give me your thoughts on social media as a tool for raising awareness about issues and making change?
Yeah, no problem. I think the best comparison I can make it to is just because I've been in this realm of like research for a couple years, is that research without community engagement means nothing. So I consider that same lens when it comes to creating educational content, or when it comes to creating any content that relates to a social justice issue. I believe like there's a lot of performativity that comes with creating content, posting content, especially people who they're like, especially when these social justice issues that are truly affecting people in li real life become a sort of trend that is social media. And of course, there are times like I myself and like other people that were frustrated with the fact that people who are doing like organizing work, people who are going into classrooms and doing like educational work, it was frustrating to see that, you know, that they're like, not like their profession was like cast away, but it was frustrating to see that people could use social media in a lens around social justice issues that makes themselves, positions themselves as the savior in these type of situations without actually like engaging within like community building. So, you know, the things that I talk about with like in my social media posts, I also am I just started well, a couple months ago, it's been about 6 months. I'm a political education specialist for a nonprofit called Start Empowerment, and we look at building different curriculums around climate justice issues. And so everything that I talk about within my social, you know, social media account, those are things I integrate into those different curriculum buildings and things like that, and also things I integrate within like the research spaces. So it's always like that twofold experience is like, yes, social media is great, but also interacting with people's also great too.
I love that. And I think it's so important to focus on both real life community building while also engaging on social media, because I think they both can be really important ways to make change and educate people, but they have to be done together. So, can you tell me about some of the changes that you're hoping to see through all of this work that you're doing?
Yeah, of course. For myself, I don't, this is like a weird way to answer, but I don't necessarily have like a strict envisionment of what my work would produce or what it would be like when I create content, or when I decide on a topic that I want to make like a social media post about. It's really heavily influenced by like the stage of my, not only like my life, that or the stage of like kind of like the stage of the world, but an overall impact. If I were to choose one, I think it's just help. I think well, I think it's two things. So first thing is, of course, helping people understand what Indigenous folks are all about. So I grew up, of course, in like New Mexico my entire life. Like, I told you, I lived like in a border town, which was very violent. But the thing is, like, if the area that I live in being so close to the reservation, people know like who Indigenous people are. Are they good views? No. But then, for college, I moved out to New York, and working in different spaces, educational spaces, being in academic spaces, and you know, talking about being Indigenous, people had no idea what it was. And especially being at like, you know, universities and institutions and places that are considered highly prestigious, there was little understanding about Indigenous thought, Indigenous practices, and Indigenous, and even an awareness that Indigenous peoples are here and that they live in the contemporary. So it was these two different experiences that I grew up with, and both exemplified the fact that nobody really knows about Indigenous issues or knows how to help Indigenous peoples. So I would say that's where my impact would be in explaining that, yeah, Indigenous peoples are here. We have these issues. This is what caused them. And if you want to help, this is how you can. But on their own, Indigenous peoples have been resilient and continuing to make change within their own communities. And the second part of the impact would have to do more with like my own community and, you know, my own immediate family. One of the biggest inspirations that has basically inspired my work was my grandmother on my dad's side. She was a really, I don't know, she was a really great matriarch, I would say. She was the one that really kept on like the values of like what it meant to be Diné, and just a really strong Diné woman. So the other part is like keeping that ingrained within me of those Diné values I grew up with, and those that's all it's a lot to kind of like delve into, but keeping that with me and to help others see that those values mean something. And I guess it does speak to like the broader picture of like being Indigenous can look a lot of different ways, but in those ways, like showing not only like the okay, I don't know where I was going with this, but the second part really is just staying true to my own home community. And I see myself definitely staying within the education policy spaces. I told you about my other grandmothers, my other gra but my one of my grandmothers, but my other grandmothers and my parents all have worked within the Bureau of Indian Education school system. And I grew up within the bilingual education system, and there's a lot of underfunding, and especially in the hometown I grew up, there's a lot of neglect towards cultural education. So I would see myself coming back, whether if that's in my hometown or if that's working for the state or within my own nation, trying to create critical approaches to explaining that cultural education is needed, especially for Indigenous youth.
I think that sounds amazing, and I love your emphasis on education and using education as a way to empower people. I think it's so important. And I have one more question for you. Lots of young people want to create change, but they may not know how to get started with that work. What advice do you have for those people who may be listening?
I think the first part has to be do your research. I feel there's a lot of like when people, or at least when I've like I tried to like get into like the space, it was like, what is like who is somebody that I can model? Like how can I model their work? How can I get involved in these different spaces? And I think it's really truly first, you know, being educated on the topic. And if you're already educated on the topic, you know, like you're step ahead. The second part is figuring out like what space that you want to be in. I feel there's a lot of people that start out, and I myself struggled with trying to figure out like I have all this information. I have a lot of there's a lot of like emotional ties to these different issues. In what way can I express them, and can I be able to, you know, communicate it effectively where I myself feel good about the topic, and I'm creating content that's like informative and also content that's like accurate, and there's like no misinformation. What way can I explore that? And for people, it's there's a lot of different ways, you know. There's people that start blogs. There's people that they're really like heavily writing focused. So like there's people that start blogs if like you don't want to be like the main like face or like because there's a lot of different social justice accounts that put like their face on it and like kind of like brand themselves around it. But if you don't want that to be like your forefront, there's definitely blogs and people still read them, by the way. I read some blogs. If you're really heavily into creating digital art or creating art, there's a lot of different art accounts that talk about social justice issues in art, and social justice go hand in hand. So if that's something you want to do, if you want to go into, you know, I'm really like a, I guess you would call it like type A people that really like reports, like when you read reports of different studies and stuff, but these are like the lesser one with lesser words, so they have like the graphics and charts. So I really liked making those, and that was something that I really liked. And as far as like gaining an audience, I don't think that should ever be something you should keep. Like, I don't think that should ever be something your work should be inspired by. For me, like, yeah, audiences are very important, especially if you want people to hear your words. But there's so many people playing into, and you think about it in the broader context of like how social justice issues have gone about, especially within like BIPOC communities, of having to please others and having to abide by all these rules. And I, for a long time, that's been our story and been our constraints when it comes to any sort of resistance. And if you are looking to go into this like content creation space, especially when it comes to social justice issues, I really do think you should be trusting your own gut, your community's gut, when it comes to creating any sort of content, and not only being steadfast about it, but being able to say like, this is what I think. And if your audience, disagrees, doesn't disagree, of course, like if your thought is like really bad, then like that makes sense. But I think just really being truthful to who you are and your voices, and being truthful to your stories and the things that you're wanting to tell. We're all storytellers, but we all tell stories in different ways.
I really enjoyed talking with Kiana, and I think her last point about finding ways to be creative and share your story and your work and what you're passionate about is so important. There is an outlet for everyone to express themselves, especially with social media. So it just takes finding the best way for you to share your story and your voice. I'm going to finish up this episode by echoing Kiana's last point, because I really believe that change comes when you tell your story. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and you can find Kiana on Instagram at Kiana_Pete to get connected with her and follow along with all of the work she's doing. If you want to talk about anything I mentioned, please reach out to me by email at lily@bethechangepodcast.org or on Instagram at Be The Change Media Network. I am working on expanding Be The Change Media Network, which means bringing you more inspiring stories from amazing guests. If you enjoyed this episode, I would really appreciate it if you could leave the podcast a rating and a comment, because it will help these stories to reach, educate, and inspire more people. I would also love to hear your thoughts and feedback. Tune in for my next episode, but until then, be the change you wish to see in the world. Bye, guys.